الله أكبر الله أكبر.
This is the world broadcast of Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to human development and community consciousness. And now, Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad.
Greatest. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
Radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Allah Most High says in Quran, وَتَعَامَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَامَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. And cooperate with each other, assist each other mutually for righteousness and the reverence of God. And do not cooperate or assist each other in mutual cooperation for sin or for rancor, enmity, creating factions, enemy factions amongst yourselves. So God says to us, cooperate with each other, work together with each other, assist each other with a mutual cooperation, mutual work that benefits all of us together. But do it for righteousness' sake and for the reverence of God. Fearing, loving, obeying God. And do not cooperate with each other for sin, for wrongdoing, or for promoting divisions of hatred, factions, enemy factions, opposing parties. The spirit of cooperation in al-Islam, according to the word of God, then, is righteousness and the fear of God. That should be our spirit for cooperating with each other. Righteousness and the fear of God. And if our spirit, our motivation, or the spirit for cooperating with each other is to achieve some wrongdoing, or to bring about division between ourselves where one party or one group is opposing another out of hatred for each other or resentment toward each other, then God has said that we should not do that. God wants to keep our spirit pure, our spirit right, our motives right, our interests pure and right. People will form bands and come together, form groups and cooperate with each other, and most times the motive is bad. The motive is selfish. The motive is to gain something for one group or one person at the expense of another, to further division, the division of the community, the weakening of the community. But what God has called us to, it works for the unity of the community and the strengthening of the community. If you will come to each other and work with each other and cooperate with each other in the spirit of righteousness and the reverence of God. Righteousness is not an empty term in this religion. For God says, righteousness is not turning your faces east or west, but righteousness is in fulfilling your obligations, believing in God, believing in His messengers, believing in His books, and fulfilling your obligations to God, your obligations to His messenger, your obligations to yourselves, your obligations to your family members, and your obligation to the needy and the poor in the society. This is what has been given to us as the meaning of righteousness in the Quran, in the Book of God, to the Muslims. So righteousness is no small matter in this religion. Righteousness is not just a spiritual condition, but righteousness obligates us to be right throughout our life, to be right throughout our life. And that means to fulfill all obligations in the way that God intended for us to fulfill those obligations. وَتَعَامَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَامَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And reverence God. So if we do not have taqwa, the fear, the love, the deep respect for our Lord who created us and made everything possible for us, then we are subject to go astray from any guidance, from any direction that is given us. You would take it for just a moment or take it for just an instance, and before you know it, you're away from the good guidance, the good direction. Why? Because the fear of God is not there. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the book, the Quran. There is no doubt or defect, no doubt or mistakes in it. It is guidance for the muttaqeen. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It is guidance for the muttaqeen, for those who have deep devotion, deep love, deep fear, deep respect for God. When that's lost, when that's missing, then nothing can be guaranteed for the Muslim. That's the condition that must be there first, taqwa. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when God blessed him to establish the Islamic community in Medina, he said to the people, henceforth there be no more migration, meaning no more migration for him and his followers, that God had blessed them to settle in a good place there and to begin the establishment of the Islamic community. And once we have settlement, once we have establishment, we do not abandon that. We do not retreat from that. The Prophet held the post. He protected the establishment with the help of God. And you Muslims who know something about the history of our Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, and the early Ummah, the early community established by him under his direct leadership, you know that wars were fought almost every year. Wars had to be fought. But he accepted to take the risk, loss of life, blood, loss of life to adults and to children. He accepted that risk. What was so important that the Prophet risked life of himself, life of the family, life of the old, and life of the children, life of the young men, the youthful men? Why did he accept that great risk? Because the obligation to establish a community, Islamic community, is given to us by God, and we have to be prepared to sacrifice anything and everything in order to establish the community life. Why did he leave Mecca? Why did he have to leave Mecca? Peace and blessings be on our Prophet. Why did he have to leave Mecca? Because he insisted upon living al-Islam. And they insisted that you will not live it here. And they were in the great majority. He had a very small number. So all he could do is just struggle there and be persecuted, boycotted, mistreated, insulted, abused. He accepted all that until God showed him a way and answer. When the invitation came from Medina to go there, there was opportunity to work there, to establish the Ummah without a lot of opposition. But, however, they didn't accept it. They still band together, the Meccans, the polytheists who believed in God and had corrupt life, they band together with the Jews and others to defeat what the Prophet set out to establish in Medina. But he took the risk, as we just said, he took the risk of loss of life, not only to the men of war, the youth in war, but to the adults and the children. He risked his own life. He was wounded in battle. For what? To carry out God's command to establish an Islamic community. We are fortunate in America to have a system of government that provides for the freedom of religion. We are free in this country to establish Islamic community life. We have to get away from blaming the United States or this system of government for our shortcomings as Muslims. Certainly there are people who don't want you to be a good citizen of this country. And if you would set as your purpose to be a good citizen of this country, you're going to meet with much opposition. Can you blame the United States of America for the trouble you have? So it's the United States' fault that I can't be a good citizen of the United States. If you set out to do anything right, there's always somebody going to make some trouble for you. So don't think because people make trouble for you and your religion in the United States that your religion is not given the same respect that Judaism and Christianity is given in these United States. In fact, I've met many men of government, many civic leaders, who prefer Muslim community in this country to a Christian community in this country. I met many who expressed happiness over us being Muslims, and they said they spoke very negatively of the Christians. They said, "We wish they could have some of your people's discipline and organization." So there are those in the so-called system, in the so-called system of power structure, there are those who favor us over Christians. There are those who favor us over Jews. But that's not the big problem. That's not the big concern. The big concern is that God has required of us that we live the Islamic community life. Not just faith. No, you have to live the Islamic community life. That's more than just faith. God requires that of us. If our religion was just a religion of faith, Prophet Muhammad would have never had to leave Mecca. The people who hold the worldly things in their hands, who hold money, who hold power, who hold land possessions, and et cetera, et cetera, they don't worry about you having faith. They don't want you to have works. You can have all the faith you want, just don't do anything. They don't mind. You can have all the faith you want, but just don't do anything. Our religion is a religion that don't allow us to have faith and no works. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, repeated over and over in the Quran, the word of God. Those who believe and they follow their faith up with good works, they are workers. Not the communist connotation, the Islamic connotation, workers. God referred to us as the ibad, his slaves. You ever see a slave without work? That was the purpose for getting him, work. And again, God says, "Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salawat." And struggle, strive to keep up patience in your life and prayer in your life. Patience and prayer, they go together. Patience and prayer go together. Who keeps praying to his Lord? The one who's patient. The impatient one, he's quick to give up, right? The one who's patient, he keeps praying to his Lord. So God says, and strive to keep up patience in your life and prayer in your life. إِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِئِينَ. But it is a burden. It is a big burden on all except those who have a fear and a shyness in them to behave wrongly before their Lord. They are ashamed of themselves when they don't do what their Lord said do. You see? Istainu bis-sabri was-salati inna Allaha ma'as-sabirin. And strive to keep up patience in your life and prayer, for surely God is with those who are patient. So Allah, He lets us know what He approves, what He disapproves. He lets us know what He favors and what He disfavors. What He loves and what He dislikes. What He is with and what He's against. And He is with those who keep patience in their life. Keep the principle of patience in their life. Most of the problem that we are having now in this modern time of the big cities is a loss of patience in our life. The loss of the principle of patience. Patience should be a principle. All the characteristics or attributes that God gives us in the Quran for the Muslims, they are principles in your life. They should be a principle of conduct, a principle of attitude, a principle of devotion. We have principles to give constancy and excellence to our life. Most of our families gone, just gone to pot. Nothing there resembling real family anymore. Because of the adverse influences all around us in the non-Islamic environment. The members of the family bombarded with un-Islamic influences all the time. So they take their life, they take their expressions, they take their feelings, they take their sentiments, they take their concerns, they take their direction from the un-Islamic environment. And unless we remain constant in the reading of Quran, studying it, not to be a ulema, not to be the learned man, studying it not to show off wisdom, or not to show off what we have been able to recite or commit to memory, studying it for protection in this bad environment. We should be searching the Quran for what God has given us as clothing, as dress for Muslim, as protection against this adverse environment. And you must be constantly in touch with the Quran, because you are constantly in touch with adverse influences that are powerful because they are so heavy, they are so numerous, and they are so near you, right in your own house. You know, when there was no television, the privacy of your home was not invaded as much as it is now. You can be relaxing upstairs and are in the back room, and your children can be watching a program in the front room. And it'll be just, the situation will be just as strangers walked off the street and began to influence your children against the life you want for them in that house. You remember how our parents used to tell us, be careful. Don't open the door until you know who it is. Remember how concerned our parents used to be when we were children? That we don't let stranger, the wrong person, come into our house. And now all those bad people come into our house by way of television, records, etc. So where is the protection? You see how come the family life is gone now? It's gone because we have let strangers come in and take the hearts of our children away from us, away from the parents, and away from each other. The strangers are coming into the home by way of television, indecent records, violent causing records, destruction causing records. They are designed to create destruction, violence, immorality, playfulness, absent-mindedness. They're designed to do that. All these strangers are coming in the house. Some churches, I used to think about them. I say, boy, they are really strict. I met some members from a church. The girl told me, I was a teenager, she was a girl. The girl told me, she said, we are not allowed to go to movies. We are not allowed to go to dances. And I said, they were very strict people. Now perhaps they're the only sensible people. Yeah, because those who let their children go to all these things, their children are gone, they're lost. They're lost. In the movie, they don't have to go to it now. The television is there to bring you everything. So really, if those people, those Christians who didn't believe in watching movies, if they're still holding that principle, they shouldn't accept television in the home. Because television is the same thing, it's a movie. It brings movies, everything else, commercials, everything. So it's no easy job maintaining the Islamic life in this kind of world and environment. It is a world that claims to be the ideal democracy, where everybody's supposed to have an opportunity here. Everybody. Not just those who came for religious freedom, like many of the pioneers to this land did. They came for religious freedom. But there was those who came for freedom from prison. Yes, they were told, there's a hard world over there, it's a wilderness, it's a raw land, very difficult to even make it over there by sea. But they need labor over there. And if you will accept to go over there and do hard work and work in the swamps and risk your life over there, we will let you out of prison. Now that was a convict. That was a criminal. But he was also given a chance at freedom. If he would take the risk that he had to accept and come to the land and be a laborer, be a worker for the people who were trying to excel themselves and establish themselves over here. So many of those criminals, once they got over here, they say, I'm going for myself. So the lawless age too came, didn't it? And they got a chunk of America for themselves. The good people got a chunk for themselves, the bad people got a chunk for themselves. And a law was set up to protect everybody, the rights of everybody. the criminal and the God-fearing person, or the criminal and the just man. The law was set up to protect them all. Sometimes we think it looks like the law is more protective of the criminal than it is of the good man. But that's not a cause to say it's bad, no. Let more good people put their pressure on establishment, on the courts, and you'll see a change come in favor of the good people. Everything is done here by democratic process. If the good people don't work hard to preserve the life and the services that they have ordered, that have been written into the Constitution and the laws of this land for them, then they will lose to the bad people who work hard to get advantages for themselves. And the bad people are always working hard to get advantages, to get political advantages, to get legal advantages, to get all kind of advantages for themselves. This is a land and opportunity where people come together, they have the opportunity, but they have to compete with each other. That's the unique thing about American democracy. There is no ethnic committee that's pledged to protect the citizens. The citizens have to accept the responsibility to protect themselves. Your moral life has to be your own responsibility in America. Your moral life in America is not the responsibility of the courts. The courts will only hear a case after something has happened and somebody's been charged. That's all the courts will do. And if you don't work hard for the right life in America, the one who judges you will be immoral. Because those who are bad, they want judges for them. Now, if those who are good don't work just as hard to get judges for them, the country will fall into the hands of the bad people. This is the nature of America's democracy. It's a land that offers great opportunity, but it requires great responsibility on the part of its citizens.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
You've been listening to Imam Waruf Deen Muhammad. Copies of Imam Muhammad's broadcasts are available through the Clara Muhammad Memorial Educational Foundation. For more information, consult the Muslim Journal newspaper.
Is greatest.
Tune in next week at the same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Waruf Deen Muhammad Speaks. Thank you for listening.
That there is nothing.
Allahu Akbar.
This is the world broadcast of Imam Waruf Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to human development and community consciousness. And now, Imam Waruf Deen Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم الصراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. We greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
It's a land that offers great opportunity, but it requires great responsibility on the part of its citizens. Those citizens who leave their life to other people, who don't care, who let pornography, who let indecency just take over the neighborhood, let crime spread and dominate their neighborhood. Those people are in a hell of a condition, not because America is bad, but because they ain't responsible. So don't say America's bad because your life is bad. Look and see first, have you been responsible? And I guarantee you, you will always find that you have neglected your job. It's not an Islamic government, but it provides for an Islamic government. Yes, I'm not talking in the sense that you may have in your mind now, but it does provide for an Islamic government. Whenever it says it protects the right, the freedom of religion, it provides for an Islamic government. If I'm free to live my religion is government. My prayer is government. My fasting in Ramadan is government. My principle is government. I am bound by principle, by Islamic principles, to conduct my office in a certain way, to run my business in a certain way, to lead my family in a certain way. That's government. So if I'm free to live my religion in America, I'm free to realize Islamic government in America. And I believe that's what is provided for in the statement, E pluribus unum, out of one, many, out of many, one, or of many, one. The idea of pluralism, America's pluralism, where many ethnic groups and nationalities have the freedom to live their own lives, is that same accommodation. For after all, most of these people who hold power, they are not people who are praying five times a day or one time a day or on Christmas even. But they are people who have an interest in the direction of this country. And they don't care whether you're Muslim or Christian or whatever. They want to see your worth as a citizen of this country. And the Muslims should be in competition with other people of this country to prove ourselves most useful. We have to prove that we are most useful, that we are a great contribution to the United States of America. But if you have holiness and no work, what good are you? Nobody values you but spirit. And I mean spirit that's way, way out, not spirit at home. Even spirit at home won't value if you have all holiness and no work. Our obligation is to establish Islamic life. We cannot be excused. We have to accept responsibility for the life support that we require. You need food. You need shelter. You have to have clothing. We're going to wait for America to make clothes for Muslims? You shouldn't. It's not good sense. No, it's not good sense for you to wait for the other American people to make clothes for Muslims. The majority of the people making clothes out there, they're Christians. They don't know about your Muslim considerations, your Muslim concerns. They don't know about that. So is it sensible for a Muslim community to just buy clothes from Christian manufacturers and not have as a burning urge in them to make their own clothing? But even if we weren't in this country, if we were in a Muslim country where 100% were Muslims, we still should be motivated to make our own clothing. Say, well, no, let the Arabs make clothes for us. We are all Muslims. Okay, there'll be Arab clothes makers, garment makers, and no Negro garment makers. And all of us are obligated to be workers, to do something, to produce. God has obligated all of us to be producers. So no matter where you are, you can be in a totally Islamic society. That doesn't excuse you. Still, you are obligated to provide your needs. Provide for your needs. Because if you don't, you diminish, you weaken, you take from your worth as a person in Al-Islam. For the worth of a person in Al-Islam is not by his faith. It's by his faith and his works. You are Muslims in America. You have special concerns when it comes to diet. You should have a burning urge inside of you to produce your own food. And what better situation could you want than America? America is the country of free enterprise. Free enterprise. There are some countries you can't go and get land and farm it and sell your products and control the factors of production all the way. You can't do that. Government regulations will interfere in many places. Some countries you can't even own the land. You can only get a lease or some agreement from the government to occupy it for a while. I'm not going to name any of them, but you don't have to go very far. So in this land, you still can be landowners. How are the Muslims doing? They're doing just what the Negroes are doing that are not Muslim. They're letting the stronger people just take all the land. Even the land that their parents worked hard for and passed on to them, they're allowing the strong to come and just take the land. You know, the Arabs got a saying. The Arab says the Muslim does not give up his land to no stranger. He protects his land. I guess that's what makes the Palestinian so determined to fight and fight and fight, no matter how long it take until they get their land back. But we are just losing land, losing thousands of acres of land every year, because we do not accept responsibility to make that land productive. We want some white man to come in. Well, you take it and see what you can do with it. And pretty soon they got it and you don't have it. Four 4,000 acres of land in Georgia. What happens? The community just sit and wait for one man to make a miracle happen with it. Don't have a group, a committee. There should be a committee, a land committee. A property holding committee. And that committee should be working hard to make sure that we don't lose what we have acquired and that we make profitable what we have acquired. But no initiative, nobody that will just come up and make the step. Well, what the imam said? You haven't been hearing what I've been saying every Sunday, every Friday, and every time I get a chance to speak, you haven't been hearing what I've been saying? What the imam says. Well, we can't do anything without the imam. Well, then we are lost. We are finished. If we can't have independent effort on the part of aggressive people in our community, and all of them have to wait for the imam to go make a miracle happen to land holdings and what, then we are lost. We are finished. Never have one man been able to make things like that happen. One man can only bring it to the conscience. The people have to make it happen. We have a property board now. They are responsible for our properties. The farm in Georgia, I've given them responsibility even for the state. The case that's been going on now almost 10 years. Started out with an obligation. They said we had an obligation to pay $3 million. About $4 million, pardon me. Close to $4 million. Now, because the case hasn't been settled, the amount now with interest added is over $7 million. So it's to their advantage to have you passive, negligent, irresponsible. It's to their advantage because in time, the interest itself can eat up all the properties you got. Properties that weren't even exposed to the judgment of that case would be exposed because they can take it from anywhere if you owe it. And irresponsible people and negligent people are lazy people with no drive, sit around and do nothing, say, oh, you got a lawyer, do we have a lawyer on the case? You need more than a lawyer on the case. When a plan has been put in place to take away the properties of a group that they didn't want to exist unless it existed just as it was. But nobody's trying to put Farrakhan out of business. So if we were still doing the same thing in the same way and just disrespecting the country and respecting the people, law-abiding, we could continue on the same way we were. And we wouldn't be in court. They wouldn't be trying to take everything from us. But now these assets are going to be used for the true religion. And we don't want these assets to be used for the true religion. Say, who were the FBI? The FBI told me, he said, no, we don't have anything to do with it. You all are, as far as we're concerned, you're no more concerned with the law We have no interest in your movement anymore. We have no people in your movement. We are not doing any work on your movement at all. This is what the FBI told me. But they don't have to do it. If Hoover made a statement, and the statement is clear. Hoover made a statement. He made a statement of how the Nation of Islam could be destroyed. How all of his properties, his leaders could be brought down, and all of his properties taken. And he said, leave it to Chicago. This is documented, Hoover's plan for destroying the Nation of Islam. And he said, Chicago is the right place for that, the right situation for that, to carry out that plan. Chicago. Now, Hoover's dead. But what's going to stop a judge who gets the Hoover plan from having his sentiments go the Hoover direction, and he himself on his own work, get in position to judge the case, and then say, I'm going to do exactly what Hoover wanted? What's going to stop him if good people don't rise up against him? What's going to stop him? Nothing. What's going to stop a crooked lawyer from finding the judge who would work with him to do that thing? And then they share the assets. They share the take. That's what's happening. That's what's been happening for years. The judge has been favoring a crooked lawyer, and the lawyer has been using properties that once belonged to many, some of you all, because I'm sure many of you all donated for those properties to be acquired. Couldn't have been purchased without your donations. Throughout these United States, people like you made possible those purchases. And they are taking them, and the lawyer is getting the money. Lawyer Cook, Attorney Cook. What's coming to the members of the state? Nothing. No member of the state has gotten anything yet in all these years. Properties are being sold, and they say, well, they have to, this is for this expense, that's for that expense. Well, this is, hold that, you can't sell that now. If you sell it, put the money in the holding, escrow, for later. Decision hasn't been made on that yet. This is the kind of game that's going on. Been going on for all these years. And I've been bringing it to your attention, asking for your support, asking for you to become enraged, to get mad. And go down there and storm that court. And go to jail if you have to. You're weak. They lock you up? What the hell? There's nothing to be locked up. People die for a small piece of land. They die for a few acres. We're talking about a lot of land and a lot of property. And you won't even go to court and storm the court and say, you know this is no justice? What kind of justice is there? And a man have an account he called Profan, Elijah's Profan. And then the judge says, oh yes, that was Elijah's money. The bank says, but Elijah didn't use it as his money. Elijah used it as the Nation of Islam's money. Elijah used this account to buy fish for the Nation of Islam to sell, and properties for the Nation of Islam, and paid bills for the Nation of Islam out of this account, and supported ministers throughout the nation from this account. So it's clear by the way the count was used that this count was a national account protected by a trustee called Elijah Muhammad. And he called it poor fund. Poor fund to us, I showed them language from books written by non-Americans, Islamic people, but non-American. I say, see what they call poor fund? Zakat. Poor dude. I say, so if a Muslim says the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a poor fund, poor to us, the poor fund, a poor charity, is zakat. And no person can will zakat to his family. And they have tried to make the American people believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had $4 million and all the capital assets, the buildings and stuff, that he was rich. Why would a rich man have a poor fund? If a rich man got a poor fund, he should be taking care of the poor from that poor fund. It's contradictory, isn't it? That there would be a poor fund, but they say it's for the rich. Say, no, that poor fund is for his children. $4 million for children is called poor fund? That's not for the poor, that's for the rich. It's contradictory. But we let it happen. When you got crooked people presiding over you in court, you cannot expect lawyers to defend you against a crooked judge. You can't expect the judge to give you the right decision. That's when you need community support. For people to go out and picket every day that man have his court. That should have been hundreds of you all standing out there waiting on a command from Imam Wadizi Muhammad. Why? Why are you waiting on a command from Imam Wadizi Muhammad? No, you should have picket signs, protest signs. You should have protest signs saying, this is a crooked judge. We expect no justice from this judge. We want this case taken out of this court. We want it taken out of this city because Hoover had a plan and the city was a conspirator. We want this case taken out of this city. Your pressure could do something. Don't you know the newspaper, the media too, is in cooperation? They cooperate with the court to do a dirt to a people that they don't particularly like either. We should have gotten great exposure in the papers for what's going on in the estate, in the case. But no, no exposure except, yes, Elijah was rich, had a great empire, $80 million empire, great outrageous lie. That's all the media wanted to tell. And not a family in the community, they're in there fighting for the riches. That's all the paper want to tell. Okay, you should protest. You should make sure the American people know what's happening. You should go say, Imam, Muhammad, give us the facts. Give us some facts. In fact, one brother came to me and asked, can we get some facts? Sure, we can give you all the facts. So we're going to start something. I haven't seen something yet. Nothing yet. I haven't seen anything yet. We need a mass protest. Downtown at the court, in the streets of Chicago, where the people are thick, so that they don't keep this quiet. They want to keep it quiet. Get the facts and make it public. You don't need a newspaper, you're a newspaper. Carry the words on a plaque, on a stick, and do your job if you're men. Get out there and protest. And every time the lawyer come here for the case, you be there protesting. So this case has been in this court so many years, put in big letters, 8 years. Nobody's benefiting from the money but a crooked judge, a judge and a crooked lawyer. You should protest. You're not a member of the state. The members of the state that's doing this thing, they are the traitors. They are the people who betray the interests. They betrayed the interests of the people who donated the money. And that includes the interests of Elijah Muhammad. May he rest in peace. They are the people who betray the interests. Emmanuel Muhammad, he came here with Nathaniel Muhammad right here in the masjid and said, oh, we're through. We're not going to do this anymore. We don't want to pose the community in there and give it. And went right and took all his words back, and he's still working with the judge. Working with the judge and the lawyer. So we can't expect no help to come from them. And maybe, don't you think it might be good justice of God to take this away from us since none of you got the initiative to stand up and do nothing about it? Don't think it's going to rob me. I don't need that. It'll be a loss to the community. And don't think hurting the Islamic community is going to stop this religion. It's not. There are whites coming into this religion fast from America. So if all the blacks would be done away with,
this religion will still be established by whites in this country. It's not dependent upon blacks. You have your own interests at stake. Some of you all, I think, would like to see, can this religion be stopped? Let's see. No, I'm not going to help. Maybe God's will is to stop this Islam. You worthless cuss. Ungrateful cuss. No, don't think we're going to be stopped. We ain't going to be stopped. No, the good believers, they will go on. And they'll make progress. But you people, because you're weak, you'll lose. You've been losing, you're going to continue to lose. If I were you all, I wouldn't let Emmanuel and none of those people rest. Be at his home demonstrating. All of them at his home. Find out where he lives. Go to his door. Say, how come you come and tell us a lie like that? Say, what are you getting out of this? You're a traitor to your father, you're a traitor to the community. Family greed and community irresponsibility. It's a pity. Yes. The hard work of good people. It'd be different if all those people had just left when Elijah Muhammad died, if all those people had followed Farrakhan or left us. It would be different. I wouldn't have no interest in it. But I know many of you who are right here, you're the ones. In fact, the ones who bought those properties are not with Farrakhan, they're with us. Well, you're not the same people that followed Elijah Muhammad in the 30s and the 40s. They fought the police for their rights. They went to jail for their rights. They lost lives for their rights. They were not weak people. And now most of them are senior citizens. 70 and 80 years old and 90. One sister's 100. They're old people now. And they look at you and say, what a worthless cuss. What a worthless group of people. In fact, one of the senior citizens told me, he comes to my house and helps me. Isn't that a shame? He should be retired from everything except what he just wants to do for his pleasure. But that old man comes to my house. And he helps. He cleans up the trash. He takes out the trash. He cuts the grass on his own. He said, I do it because you are my leader.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
You've been listening to Imam Waruf Deen Muhammad. Copies of Imam Muhammad's broadcasts are available through the Clara Muhammad Memorial Educational Foundation. For more information, consult the Muslim Journal newspaper. Tune in next week at the same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Waruf Deen Muhammad Speaks. Thank you for listening.
That there is nothing.